I know some of you guys don't normally come here. Some of you guys have been here for a while. You missed last week. Last week, Corey started a new sermon series called Test Review. Now, if you were not here last week and you see Test Review, that is terrifying. It happened way too many times to me in high school where there was a test coming up and I did not know. And then I got a test review and it's like, oh, look, there's a test. So there is no test. Well, your life is the test. But there is no test that we are taking in church today. What we are doing is we're taking all the sermon series that Pastor Corey did last year, and we are reviewing it. So we went over the Hilltop Talk, which was the Sermon on the Mount. We went over that last week, and we talked about salt and light. And today, it made it really easy to write down what I was going to talk about today, because it's pretty much the same sermon, and how treating your life and how walking through life being salt and light is going to impact the things. We talked last week about we are not in the business of behavior modification, right? It is not my job to tell you how to live. It is not your job to tell somebody else how to live. And whenever we are being salt and light of the world, right, you don't have to think about the things that we're talking about today. They just happen naturally. When I am fully committed and I'm in the Word, I don't have to think about doing these things. It should just happen naturally. So that is kind of where we're going today. Really quick, before we get too far into it, I want to shout out some people. So these are the three trees. This is what I'm speaking over today. It took six sermons, but it's three trees. And there are new signs. There's new signs all over the place. Whenever we were doing this sermon series, that was whenever we started talking about a new logo and rebranding, which really didn't mean anything but changing a new logo and making sure people knew we were still here. But a lot of people were working on the rebrand and these signs. So shout out Miss Ellen, shout out Miss Kerr, shout out Pastor Corey, shout out Presley. She can't hear me, but she's in the children's room. Shout out Lois, because she did a lot too. But yes, we have all these signs all over the place. This is in the education building. If you're walking straight through the hallway, you see them. And it talks about our three trees. So that's what we're going to go into today. But before we really get into the three trees, let's hear what the Bible has to say about it. So go to Romans 12. Go to Romans 12 for me. And we are going to be in 4 through 8. My goal, this is my second time preaching. So I've been asking Corey a lot of questions. What's the fine line between like giving you all Bible and no Jeffrey speaking and breaking down it a little bit? My goal is to give you big passages of scripture, and I want you to hear the parts that we need to hear to understand what I'm saying, but also read the Bible on your own. Get some context. One of my favorite things that happened this week was I was reading the references and the things that Corey talked about whenever he was preaching on this sermon or the series, and I decided I was just going to read the entire chapter of every reference that I put in here, and that took a lot of time, but it was good. And I wanted to just throw the whole chapter of every section that I'm giving to y'all today in there, but we don't have enough time. So Romans 12, we're going to go 4 through 8. For as in one body we have many members, and the members do not all have the same function. So we, though many, are one body in Christ, and individually members of another. Having gifts that differ according to the grace given to us, let us use them. If prophecy in proportion to our faith, if service in our serving, the one who teaches in his teaching, the one who exhorts in his exhortation, the one who contributes in generosity, the one who leads with zeal, the one who does acts of mercy with cheerfulness. So that's the sermon. That pretty much covers the three trees, right? The three trees of what it means to be a member at Pine Drive are process of discipleship. It talks about it right there. That's the whole main idea. That's our thesis statement for today. We are all called. We are individual people. We all have different things that we're good at. Abby's great with children. Me, I'm probably not going to go up there. I mean, not in the nursery for sure. I don't want a baby. I'll go upstairs, not going to be in the nursery. So we all have different gifts. We all have different talents. And they can all be used. And so we are called to use those talents. We are individual people, but a hand is no good if it's not connected to the arm. An arm is no good if it's not connected to the body. So we're all body parts of a body, and we're healthy body parts of a healthy body. So then that gets into the preframe, right? What we talked about last week, that's the preframe. It set it up great to go from salt and light, right? Our diet and exercise, and now we're talking about being parts of a body. That's why I said healthy parts of a healthy body. Our diet and exercise, our core. What do we need as believers? What was Jesus saying in the Sermon on the Mount, right? To be salt and light, to prevent decay and bring light into darkness. That's your very basic. You go to the doctor, they tell you to be healthy, diet and exercise, right? To be in the Bible, to be in the Word, to pray, to prevent decay in this world and to bring light to the world. So our preframe, our church membership, right? All that is when we are in the Bible, this is going to be a main theme of what we talk about today. When we're doing what we're supposed to be doing as Christians, not as church members, not as members of a club, but when we're doing individually what we're supposed to be doing as Christians, that is going to naturally, it's going to go into being a part of a church, right? Being a part of a group of believers, surrounding yourself with a group of believers, and also surrounding yourself with people in the world, right? People who don't think the same things as you. People who believe different things than you. When we are in the Bible, right, when we are truly being salt and light, it will naturally happen that we will serve. It will naturally happen that we will be in a life group and we will disciple people. It will naturally happen that we'll want to come together in unity and worship. And that's the three trees, right? So whenever I'm listening, I mean, the Sermon on the Mount, right? Jesus is talking and he's telling us what will happen. He's not saying this has to happen, right? We have a choice, right? And when we follow him, that's what the Sermon on the Mount is all about. When we follow him, these things change, right? It's a behavior change, not because we told you to, but because you want to, right? I know how much God loves me. I see God's love for me, his sacrificial love, his agape, right? And that makes me want to do these things, not because the Bible told me to do it, but because I want to do everything I can to love the people around me the way that God loved me. And I want to share God's love that he has for me with the people next to me too and with the people I'm doing life with. So that's church membership. And the roots. The roots are the same thing. Salt and light, right? Whenever I can prevent decay in the world, right? When this world is a crazy place, this world is a bad place, this world is full of sin, right? Whenever I can fix that in my own heart, I can fix that in my own life, and I can start to fix that in other people's. I'm not fixing it, right? But I know the way to fix it, and I can show them the way to fix it. Then all of a sudden, it's a ripple effect, right? So that's our roots. And what do roots do for trees, right? It's a firm foundation, right? Especially in Dickinson with like 37 hurricanes a year. Trees got good roots, right? We want to be deeply rooted. Before, I almost put the roots over church membership, right? Before we become a member of the church, we want to be in the Bible. We want to know what the Bible says. I want to follow and I want to listen to instructions and things that are said in the Bible. And then I want to join the church, right? I want to know what I'm believing in. I want to know what I'm agreeing with before I just blindly agree with it, right? It's faith is not blind, right? I see it working and I hear things and I have proof, right? Sometimes there's things that they're hard to believe. Right, but then I start to see God working in other parts of my life, and it doesn't make it so hard to believe. Right, there's things that I have never even struggled with in faith, and then there's things that I see so clearly it overshines. Right, the light is shining over things that I know that's true because I've seen how true this is. I can see God's love in my life, and I see how God loves me through this. I see how God loves me through that. Right, so that's our roots. That's our framework for our discipleship process. So I've gone over it like 100 times already. Uh-oh. How do we go back? There we go. Our three trees. Corporate worship, right? Our corporate worship is not because in the Bible it says we all need to come together once a week and hear one person speak on the stage and read scripture, and then he talks for 45 minutes and then we sing one song, right? The Bible does not say that specifically. We're not coming together to have that process and that system every time. We're coming together for unity and we're coming together for worship. I'm trying not to like cover one of these too hard because I got six sermons to cover in this. Next is our discipleship. Our second tree is life groups, right? Whenever we are truly being discipled, that process starts by somebody discipling you, right? Jesus had 12 disciples. Those 12 disciples had more disciples. The discipleship process is I start being discipled, there's a transformation, and I'm so in the Word, I start discipling other people. Right? So if we were to not have the second tree, there would be no purpose in the first tree. Right? Corporate worship, we're coming together and we're talking about our discipleship. We're talking about our ministry opportunities and we're coming together in unity, right? And we're refreshing each other. Sometimes I'm going to come here and I'm going to have a bad week, right? And you guys are here to help me. Sometimes I'm going to have a good week and the person next to me is going to have a bad week. And that's what the church is for. That's what we're coming together. And we get to agree that we are serving a living God who is a living hope. And we get to sing and we get to proclaim and worship the God who's moving in my life. And sometimes I'm going to have a hard week and I'm not going to see it that way. But I get to worship the God who's moving in the person next to me's life. I get to worship in all of the awesome things that are happening in this church with other people and other disciples too. So that's our second tree, our life groups, our discipleship. And then our third tree is service, right? Serving the world. Jesus came not to be served, but to serve. If I'm in the Bible, right, I am listening, I'm hearing from God. I'm not serving because that's one of the three things it takes to be a part of the church. I'm serving because I'm in the Bible and it calls me to love like Jesus. Right? All of these three things, we're not doing it because that's what it means to be a member of Pine Drive. All of these things naturally happen because of what I'm reading and what I'm seeing in the Bible. Right? So whenever we started talking about the three trees, when Pastor Corey was bringing the three trees, it's not something that he made up. Right? It's not something that's a new concept. It's something that has always been around since Bible times. It is talked about in the Bible, and we are just clearing up what can be confused sometimes with a crazy culture, right? There's a crazy world out there, and sometimes it gets foggy, and all the three trees are, it's nothing new, right? It's just clearing up. It's sharpening your perspective on what it means to be a member of Pine Drive, and even if you're not a member of Pine Drive, what it means to be a Christian, what it means to be in the Bible. It means to love sacrificially. All of these things, I'm getting ahead of myself in this sermon. But all of these things, it's just loving sacrificially. Right? That's agape. Oh, and we dropped something. That's cool. Next up, corporate worship. Okay, so this was the first tree. I kind of tried to keep it brief, but I got excited and I got into it too much. God never calls us to meet this exact way. Right? There's nowhere in the Bible where it says, come sit in a building with pretty blue carpet for 2 hours and sing songs and listen to one person speak. Right? God calls us to do life together. God calls us in Romans 12, right? The one who leads. Right? God calls people to lead. God calls people to serve. Right? So we all have different things. We're all different parts of a body, and God has called us together to have one goal. Right? Salt and light. Prevent decay, bring light to the world. So corporate worship, it's not about doing this exact thing. All the first tree is prioritizing the body. It's not prioritizing coming to Sunday service. Right? We want you to come to Sunday service, but what it's prioritizing, corporate worship, we want you to prioritize being a part of the body. Right? We want you to be able to come here, share the good things that are happening. My favorite part is I talk way too much before service and I talk way too much after service. And it's because I love to hear the things that are happening outside of church, right? The ministry opportunities. Okay. The next one, we are part of a body that functions for a greater good, right? We're not coming here to come to church and build the church, right? The greater good, it's not to build Pine Drive, right? It is to change the world. Right? It is to save the world. It is to prevent decay in the world. So whenever we are thinking about coming to church and we want to show up to church, that way we can see how it's going and we can see how we can help the church and grow the church. That's selfish, right? It is not Pastor Corey's job to build the church. It's not the congregation's job to build the church. That's God's job, right? And God has been doing that and we're seeing that. So whenever we come here, we want to be unifying in our goal, right? What is our goal? We want to prevent decay, okay? And then we want to meet for unity and worship, right? It's not what we do, but it's why we do it. I can stand in the front row and I can sing 100 songs at the top of my lungs, and I probably couldn't, but I could sing really, really good, right? And it's not about what I'm doing, but it's about my heart behind it. And that's every single thing in the Bible, right? It doesn't matter if I'm in life group. It doesn't matter if I'm going to corporate worship. It doesn't matter if I'm serving. It's not what I do. I can be the nicest person. I can serve the most people. But God does not care about that if my heart is not in the right spot, right? So when we come here, it shouldn't be about coming here to come to church. It shouldn't be about showing up just to hear somebody speak, right? It should be coming here because we love the Lord and we are seeing Him work, and we want to unite in what we believe, right? And we want to save the people around us. So it's not about what we do, why we do it. So now here's time for your big chapters. Oh, why am I pointing? I don't know. All right. We're going to Colossians. So if you will turn with me to Colossians 3, verses 14 and 17. We'll see if it works. Nope. Okay. Colossians 3, verse 14 through 17. And above all these, put on love, which binds everything together in perfect harmony. Binds everything together. Sounds like unity to me. Binds everything together in perfect harmony. And let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, to which indeed you were called in one body, and be thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly, teaching and admonishing one another in all wisdom, singing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs with thankfulness in your hearts to God. And whatever you do in word or deed, do everything in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through Him. So what it's saying, right? We are coming together united by God's love, right? We know God sent His Son to die on the cross for our sins, right? We believe in that. We are coming together because we see that, and we want to worship Him, and we want to serve Him, right? We are singing spiritual songs with thankfulness in your hearts to God. We're not singing spiritual songs because the Bible tells us to sing spiritual songs, but it's not what we do, it's why we do it. We're singing with thankfulness, giving thanks to God the Father through Him. Next one, Acts 2, 42 through 47. I'm giving you a lot of scripture. I want you to write it down. If you can read the whole chapter while I'm covering it, do it, but I don't think you can. So go back, read these chapters. Acts 2, 42 through 47. Oh. The Fellowship of Believers. That's what it's titled in my Bible, right? That's what we are. We're a fellowship of believers. This is not a club, but we are a fellowship of believers. And they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and the fellowship, to the breaking of bread and the prayers. Before I keep going, all of those things, it doesn't put one above the other, right? It doesn't say the apostles' teaching comes first, and then the fellowship, and then the breaking of bread, and then prayer. Right? It's hard to think about, but praying is of the same importance as being here on a Sunday morning, right? Breaking bread, right? Being living with people in the world is just as important as the apostles' teaching, right? It doesn't say Sunday morning is the most important thing, right? We want to prioritize unity, but it doesn't say that it's the most important. It is just as important to be here as it is to read your Bible. It is just as important to pray as it is to be here. We want to make sure that we are doing the things we're supposed to do. I need to keep reading. And awe came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were being done through the apostles. And all who believed were together and had all things in common. And they were selling their possessions and belongings and distributing the proceeds to all, and all as any had need. and day by day attending the temple together and breaking bread in their homes, we'll cover that one later, they received their food with glad and generous hearts, praising God and having favor with all people, and the Lord added to their number. I'm going to read that one more time. And the Lord added to their number, day by day, those who were being saved. Coming here is not so we can add to our number. Being a member of the church isn't so we can add to our number. Doing things at the church, prioritizing coming together, right? We're not going into the community as one big group to show people how alive we are as a church, right? We're doing these things because we have thankfulness in our hearts that God sent his son to die, and the Lord will add to the church, right? It's a big thing when we talk about corporate worship and when we talk about big service projects as a church, right? We want to show out how awesome our team is. No, we want to show God's love through our team. No matter if we got two people doing something or if we have 200 people doing something, we want to show God's love, and the Lord added to their number, right? A lot of times we're so focused on what's going to grow the church, what's going to bring people in the door. We don't need to focus on that. What do we need to focus on? Being in our Bible, diet and exercise. How do we have a healthy body? We diet and exercise. Our healthy beliefs come from reading the Bible and being in prayer. And that's just as important as unity, right? And we want to come together in that, and we want to agree on that. Okay, so those are corporate worship. We're moving on to discipleship. We're crackling up here. Discipleship. Although we are called to be and serve the world, it is good to surround yourself with like-minded people for restoration and support. We are called to go out into the world. We are called to serve the people around us. If you are doing that correctly, if you are in the Bible, if you are putting yourself in uncomfortable situations sometimes, right? We'll talk about this later. Sometimes being a Christian means getting taken advantage of. That's going to happen. If we are doing those things, that's hard, right? We can do it because we have the Lord, but that's hard. And it's good to be a part of a small group. It is good to surround yourself with people who believe in the same thing as you do. It is good to surround yourself with people who know the same good news that you know. Right? Whenever you, social batteries are a thing, right? I have a social battery. I can talk a lot. I love being around people. But eventually, that's going to drain. It's the same thing, right? I have a battery. I want to serve as much as I can, right? I want to spread the word as much as I can. I'm going to get tired. And that's when it's good to have that small group of people around you, not because they can do anything to help that, but because they can remind you who does things to help that. Does that make sense? So, next one. You have not truly been discipled if you do not carry on the chain and then disciple others. Once I have been taught, then I go and teach in whatever capacity that looks like. Right? Maybe it's in a life group. Right? Maybe it's one-on-one. You're not to the point where we're leading a life group yet. But I know the good news because somebody has told me about it, right? And once I have been discipled, the only way to keep that process going is I go and disciple other people, right? So that's the second part. We have our corporate worship, and then the second tree, right, is discipleship. I added life groups because that's when we introduced life groups, and that's what we were talking about. But it doesn't always mean discipleship is not 15 people eating together, right? Discipleship is one-on-one. Some of the people in this front row, we went, and Presley upstairs, we went to Passion. It's a young adults church conference. It was in Dallas. We went on New Year's Day for a couple days. And they were talking a lot about discipleship. It was all college students. There was 46,000 of them. And there's a lot of believers in colleges, and there's a lot of non-believers in colleges. And that is a perfect opportunity when you are learning, when you are living with people on campus. That is an easy opportunity for discipleship. Discipleship is not 5 minutes, right? This is what they say. Discipleship isn't 5 minutes, but it's 5 years. And maybe you're not spending the same amount of time with him in 5 years, but what I'm talking about now and the things that we're asking questions and we're learning about now will change their hearts and change the way they see things in 5 years. Sometimes you'll see it right then, right? But the discipleship process is a process. And we have to learn to fall in love with that process, right? When I'm discipling someone, I am falling in love with it because I see what God is doing in their lives, what God is doing in their hearts, right? And I see that because I know how he did it in my life and I know how he did it in my heart, right? All discipleship in life groups is I care about people. This is what we talked about last week, authenticity, right? If I truly care about you, one of my basketball coaches in high school, we did like a small group at his house. And he said, if you are telling me that you love someone and you truly care about them, and then I ask you if you've shared the Bible with them, and you haven't shared the gospel, do you truly love that person? Think about that. That's authenticity, right? If I know where you're going when you die, right, and I know it is eternal suffering, do I truly love that person if I'm not going to tell them what I think will help them? Right? If I care about you, I'm not just looking after our relationship, but I'm also looking after you. Does that make sense? So we want to make sure, and that only comes, discipleship is only going to come through authenticity. People see through fake. If I'm just going up and I'm telling you the good news because my pastor challenged me to tell 3 people the good news, right? That's great. It's not about what we do, but it's why we do it. I do it because I care. And sometimes I don't have to know you, right? I can still care about you. I know we are all created in the image of God, and we should love each other because they are created in the image of God, right? And sometimes I know you really well. Sometimes it's heavy on my heart, right? I just want to share it. I don't know what you believe. I don't know what you know, but I know what I know, and I want you to know the same thing. That's discipleship. That's life groups, right? We are changing. Our lives have been changed. We see that, and we want to change the people's lives around us. And then in life groups, right, we're seeing people changing throughout the life groups. That's the beauty of the process. We have people at the beginning of that discipleship process. But if life groups do their job, the longer you're in a life group, the more prepared you are to lead your own life group. Right? There's phases in life. I'm not going to go to some of the other life groups because my life group meets at 3 a.m. Right? There's phases to life. I'm not always going to be doing life with the same people. Right? And if I am in a life group, that is preparing me for my next phase of life, wherever that is, whatever I'm doing, right? I'm doing life with new people. And there's a discipleship process in that. Okay? So that's our life groups. Last one. God calls us not only to share knowledge and scripture, but he calls us to break bread, to bear burdens, and hold each other accountable. What I mean by hold each other accountable, right? Sometimes, if we're close, and I see you did something, I'm going to be like, hey bro, probably shouldn't have done that. But hold each other accountable. I'm calling Jessica out on this one. The kids nowadays, we say, she clocked me, right? There was a time where Jeffrey was in his head for a couple days, a couple weeks, right? And it was not healthy, right? And what do we need to do to be healthy? Diet and exercise, right? I need to read my Bible and I need to be in prayer. When I'm talking hold each other accountable, it was sitting right over there where Will Kerr is sitting, right there. She came and she sat next to me. She was like, how are you doing? I was like, I'm okay. Like, I'm doing better. I lied. I wasn't doing better. She's like, I know you're not. That's part of doing life, right? She knows me. It's authentic. I know you're not. You know what would fix this? Diet and exercise. Read your Bible, maybe. Pray, right? We want to just take things on our shoulders and fix things ourselves. When I'm talking about hold each other accountable, when I'm talking about doing life with each other, it's not behavior change because it's not what we do. It's why we do it, right? I know she knew what I needed. So she held me accountable and say, hey, if you really want to fix this problem, You know the answer and I do too. Maybe you should actually use that answer. That's what discipleship is. That's the process. So what does it say in the Bible about it? Ecclesiastes 4, 9 through 12. Turn with me. Going back. Ecclesiastes 4, 9 through 12. The first five words say it all. Two are better than one. Right? Sometimes the answer is right in front of us, and it takes somebody to push me, and I trip over the answer, and then I realize that was the answer the whole time. Two are better than one, because they have a good reward for their toil. For if they fall, one will lift up his fellow. That's what she did, sitting in that chair. But woe to him who is alone, when he falls and has not another to lift him up. Again, if two lie together, they keep warm. But how can one keep warm alone? And though a man might prevail against one who is alone, two will withstand him. A threefold cord is not quickly broken. All it takes, I know I'm not healthy. Someone sees I'm not healthy. All it takes, they don't have to change my behavior. Right? That's the beauty of Christianity. We are not trying to change your behavior. Okay? But all they have to do, hey, to be healthy, what does the doctor say? Diet and exercise, right? Read your Bible. Read your dang Bible. That's Corey's favorite line. Right? Read your Bible. Pray. Right? And sometimes we know the answer. We just don't want to do it. Sometimes I know there's hard conversations that I'm going to have, but I'm going to avoid that person for 2 weeks so I don't have to have that hard conversation. And sometimes it takes somebody, hey, time to go have that hard conversation. Right? Next one, we're Galatians 6. I'm telling you, I got a lot of Bible. I want you to go back and I want you to read chapters. Galatians 6, title of this section, Bear One Another's Burdens. That's life group. That's doing life with each other. Brothers, if anyone is caught in transgression, you who are spiritual should restore him in a spirit of gentleness. Keep watch on yourself, lest you too be tempted. Bear one another's burdens and so fulfill the law of Christ. In a spirit of gentleness. A lot of times, right, when we say hold each other accountable, accountability, what we call this at Premier Martial Arts, PMA, what we call it is an ant. An automatic negative thought. If you're going to hold me accountable, right, when I hear somebody, oh, you need to hold that person accountable, that's an automatic negative thought, right? But if you're holding me accountable, if you are restoring me in a spirit of gentleness, that's not negative, right? That's positive, right? So we're crushing that ant. We're crushing the automatic negative thought because we're doing life together. You authentically care about me. And you are helping me, holding me accountable, not because you're judging me, right? We're in the world. We have a sinful nature. You're not doing these things. You're not helping me because you're judging me. It's because you love me. It's in a spirit of gentleness, right? And to fulfill the law of Christ, because he's called us to love. He's called us to love sacrificially. Sometimes that means putting others over yourself. That's sacrificially, right? Last tree. Try not to talk too much. I got a lot. Service. Right? Whenever we went over this service tree, I had just gotten back from the Dominican Republic. And I got to speak about service and a missions trip in the Dominican. That's great. That's service. But that's not what this tree is about. It's not about going on a missions trip once a year. Yes, we want to serve, right? We want the Great Commission. We want to go and tell all the nations of the good news. But it also means serving the people right next to you. It also means serving the community around you, right? We talked last week, light, when God calls us to be light. This room is bright enough. If you turn your phone flashlight on, it's not going to make it any brighter, right? Whenever we talk about service, we're talking about going into a dark room and then turning your flashlight on, right? The light in my room, it stays on. I don't like the dark, right? But if I walk into the closet right next to my room, and then I turn my flashlight on, now I can see in my closet, right? So we want to make sure service, yes, we think about missions trip. Yes, we think about a big group church activity, going and doing something. But service is also the people right next to me, right? The people who I'm doing life with. So when we talk about service, we want to think about a chore at church versus serving the world. There are things at the church that need to be done, right? We have kids, okay? There are kids, there were kids, who we could hear, and that's amazing. We want children. We want to hear them. I would love to hear them having fun in the classroom up there, right? There are things to do, like serving upstairs, right? If they need help, we have volunteers. We have people trained. If you don't know anything about volunteering, talk to Abby. She'd love to have you. But that's not what we're talking about with service, right? Service isn't just serving in the church, but it's loving the world, right? The whole theme is love, sacrificial love. I'm not just doing chores around the church. I'm not just helping out around here, but I'm serving the people around me because that's what God has called me to do, right? I feel a pressure to tell somebody who I know really well and I care about that God loves them and he wants to live with them forever, right? I should feel the same pressure for the person I don't know. The only difference is I don't know them yet. Does God love my best friend who I see every day, who doesn't believe, and the person who I never spoke to, does he see them differently? No. So I shouldn't see them differently. I want to serve the people right next to me just as much as I want to serve the people in a different country. Does that make sense? We can provide light in a closet, or we can provide light with a spotlight in the ocean, right? It doesn't matter how far you go. It's just finding that darkness and shining light on it. There's a difference between finding your identity in Christ and finding your identity in the church. This is what I kind of got out of Passion, right? They were talking about discipleship process not taking 5 minutes, but it takes 5 years. There was a lot of talk about worship. And in my heart, we were talking a lot about the worship process, right? I want to find my identity in Christ and Christ's love over church. Church is great, right? I want to serve. That's great. But I want to serve not because the church has needs, but I want to serve because God loves me and I want to show that love and I want other people to feel that love. So I'm finding my identity in Christ's love for me. I'm not finding my identity in, if I go and serve, I can invite you to church, and then that can grow our church. Whose job is it to grow the church? Not me. Not my service, right? It's God. Okay? Last one. Authenticity is key. Not for an invite. If I am serving you to invite you to church, I don't think I'm serving you. I'm trading. Right? This is when we were first talking about a call to ministry. One of my friends, he had a funeral here, right? And Pastor Corey didn't know him, never spoke to him, never met him. And he came to introduce himself, and they were fine, they were good. It was nice to meet you, thank you for helping us out. But you could tell he was kind of waiting, right? The pastor of this church is talking, he was waiting for an invite. And Pastor Corey, he could tell too. And he straight up just said, he's like, look, I'm not inviting you to church, right? I don't want you to come here. If you never come back in this church, that's fine. If you never come back, well, this is where they're having the funeral. If you never come back, that's okay. The only reason I am here is to love you and to serve you, right? How authentic is that, right? When I can tell someone, hey, I'm doing this because God loves you, and this is what he's called me to do, not because God loves you so much he wants you in church, right? He does, but that's not why I'm doing it. I'm doing it authentically. We have an entitlement culture. We talked about this last week, right? If I want food, I'm going to DoorDash it. It's going to get here in 10 minutes. Right? I ordered a pizza to the church on Wednesday. Okay, we have an entitlement culture. I think that by serving you, I should be allowed to invite you to church. I think that by serving you, you should have to listen to me. No, we need to break that, right? I think I should serve you so I can show you God's love. With that, whatever you get out of that, that's great. God will reveal himself. right? It's not my job. That's selfish to put it on my back and be like, I can show you God's love. I'm serving you and you will see God's love through my service, right? That is the third tree. So we have coming together in corporate worship, unity. We are prioritizing the body of the church. We have discipleship as our second tree. We are prioritizing doing life with people. In that life group, there's all different processes, right? There's all different things of discipleship. Some people have been believers for a long time. Some people are new believers. Some people, they just want to understand, right? They don't believe it. That's okay. They're just trying to understand. Who said they can't understand? You have to understand something to believe in it, right? So that's our life groups. Our service is the same thing, right? I'm not doing it. It's not what we do, but it's why we do it, right? What does the Bible say about it? Matthew 25, 41 through 46. I got to breeze through these. If you want to pull it up, you can. If not, that's okay. Matthew 25, 41 through 46. We're going to start at 42. For I was hungry and you gave me no food. I was thirsty and you gave me no drink. I was a stranger and you did not welcome me. Naked and you did not clothe me. Sick and in prison and you did not visit me. Then they will answer saying, Lord, when did we see you hungry or thirsty or a stranger or naked or sick or in prison and did not minister to you? Then he will answer them saying, truly I say to you, as you did not do it to one of the least of these, you did not do it to me. When God calls us to serve, right, we are not serving God just to serve God, right? We are serving people because we have God's love and they are going to see God's love through that, right? God cares just as much about the heart, why we do it, as what we do. Mark 10:45. For even the Son of Man came not to be served, but to serve, and to give him life, give his life as a ransom for many. God, Jesus, the Son of God. Entitlement culture, he's entitled to everything, right? He didn't come so he could invite you to church, right? He came to serve. He came to put his own life as a sacrifice. Last one, John 13:2-8. Jesus picks up his towel and he washes the disciples' feet. I'm only going to read the first verse. You can go at home and read it on your own. During supper, when the devil had already put it in the heart of Judas Iscariot, Simon's son, to betray him, Jesus, knowing that, he got up, he got a towel, and he washed his feet. He knew they were going to deny him. And he got up anyways. As Christians, we know sometimes going and serving in the world, we may get taken advantage of. But it's not about what we do or what's going to happen, but it's about why we do it. Sometimes serving, this is the hardest tree, right? Because I know that sometimes by serving the world around me, this sinful place, I'm going to get taken advantage of. I'm going to get used, right? We're prioritizing that not because it can grow the church, right? We want to show God's love through that. People will see God's love through that. Jesus knew what was going to happen. He got up anyways and he washed his feet. If the Son of God can do that, why can I not go talk to a person and ask them how I can make their day better? Right? All right, so I feel like you've heard it a lot. It's not about what we do, but it's why we do it. This is what we talked about last week. Following Christ is an outward calling, not an inward religion. All three of these trees, although we talk about life groups, we talk about corporate worship, it's not an inward religion, right? We're coming together in unity and worship, and then we're going out into the world. We're living life with people. This is our framework for discipleship. I'm just going to give you the references. I don't have time. I talked way too much. The process, the framework, right? We have a relationship. Maybe you don't know him yet, but you build that relationship with him. And then there's a transformation, not because somebody told you to change, but because you see that in your life and you change. You gain community, and then there's a mission, right? The Great Commission. the church that I grew up in, they're saying, our mission is the Great Commission, right? That's a great saying. I want to go out and I want to tell the world the good news that I know, because authentically, I know how much God loves me, and I know God loves the person next to me the same, and I know God loves the person over there the same, and I want them to know, and I want them to feel, and I want them to see the same things that I know, I feel, and I see. It is our outward calling, right? In the Bible, the greatest commandment, the new commandment, the whole theme of the Bible. There's a book that Pastor Corey made me read. It's called The Story. And it's just giving you the main story throughout the Bible. It takes out other details. It gives you scripture, the main story. The whole theme of that is sacrificial love. John 3:16. God so loved the world, he sent his only begotten son to die. Sacrificial love. That's the whole theme. So all three of these trees, you're going to sacrifice Sunday morning football. Right? That's hard. I love football. Right? I'm going to sacrifice time. Right? I'm going to be doing life with people. I'm going to serve. I'm going to be taken advantage of. It's not about if, but when. Right? If I'm truly bought in, I'm all into what this says. I'm going to be taken advantage of. It's sacrificial love. Right? So that's our outward calling. So as the musicians come up, I want you to think about some things. We're going to reflect on some things. This sacrificial love. Number one, do I know what this sacrificial love is all about? Right? Do I know that Jesus sent his only son to die on the cross? I know. Right? We want to make sure we know that. And if you don't, I want you to think about that. I want you to pray about that. If you have questions, I want you to talk to Corey about that. Or me. Come talk to any of us. We'd love to talk to you. Right? Number two, as being a part of the church, right, with our three trees, am I loving sacrificially? Right? Because I know God loves me sacrificially. Am I loving the world sacrificially? So they're going to sing, and whenever we're praising him, we're listening, I want you to think, do I know sacrificial love? A lot of you guys, if you're a believer, right, you're in the word, you know sacrificial love. And then I want you to ask yourself, am I loving sacrificially? Those are our two questions. Stand up. Let's sing.